Well, we're continuing our series this morning on the fruit of the Spirit. And in this series, we get a picture. We get to see what it looks like to really live the life of a born-again Christian, to live a life of a new creation in Christ. The scripture tells us in Galatians 5:22 that the fruit of the Spirit is peace. We're going to talk about peace today. Peace is one of the greatest needs of man. In fact, Billy Graham, the famous evangelist, said it was the greatest need of man in our generation, was the need for peace. And oh, how we see this in our world, where so many people are just stressed out, where they just can't hardly even function. They've just come to the end of their rope. You know, we got a lot of these sayings like that, that they can't stand anymore. They're at that place where they're just about to go under. And on some level, all of us experience that stress and anxiety in our life. I tell you, all of us have a need for greater peace in our life. And here's the thing. We know as believers that peace is for us. And yet a lot of the time, it seems like that believers have just as much stress and anxiety and struggle in this area just as much as an unbelieving world. And I want you to know that is not the plan of God. Peace is part of His plan for you. We need to hear the truths of God's Word this morning and learn how to walk in the peace of God. That old stress, I tell you, it can make you sick. It can cause you to have stomach problems, headaches. Anybody ever had a stress headache? You're talking to somebody and you started getting a headache while you're talking to them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it can cause all kinds of health issues. It can cause your blood pressure to go higher. It can cause heart problems. All kinds of things come from having stress in your body. In fact, when stress just finally overloads the body, they call it a breakdown. It just breaks your body down. And I'm telling you, God wants us to have His peace, not just be caught up in the stress of the world and all this anxiety. You know, at the very least, stress will keep you from being a good witness for the Lord, because stress will cause you to be short and unkind with those that you're around the most. Oh, we need the peace of God every day. That peace. What a witness it is when we truly have the peace of God. In a world that's searching and looking for peace in all kinds of ways and trying all kinds of things, you know the old song, looking for love in all the wrong places. People are looking for peace in all the wrong places, because there's really only one true source of peace. His name is Jesus. That's where our peace comes from. You know, people will try, well, entertainment, you know, they have some hobby, or, you know, we go on vacation. A lot of times we're just trying to escape. You know, there used to be that commercial, you want to get away from it all? And we're all like, yeah, I want to get away from it all. The problem with all of that is that it never lasts. You come home and guess what? The problems are still there. You know, you play golf for a day, but the next day you still got to go to work and you got to deal with life. It's just that way, that even though we try to escape through some entertainment or pleasure, it doesn't really deal with the issues and we still don't have peace. Some people try to deal with peace by looking for solitude. They just want to be alone some. And I want to tell you now, Jesus is part of that equation. That might work, but you can get alone and just think about all your problems. You know what I'm saying? Some people, they think that they're going to find peace, or they're trying to get peace from a bottle. I'm talking about believers. They think, well, I need to relax a little bit. I want to tell you, the peace of Jesus doesn't come through a bottle of Chardonnay. That's not where the peace is. I'm just telling you. And I want to say this very plainly. I'm not judging anybody. I am not criticizing anybody. But in our world, the use of both illegal drugs and legal drugs is so epidemic, in part because people need some peace. But the problem with that is none of that brings real peace. None of it brings lasting peace. And the peace that Jesus gives is so much better. Amen. Oh, how we need the peace that only God can bring. John 14, 27, Jesus, the Prince of Peace, that's who he is. The Bible declares it. The Prince of Peace. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, my peace I give to you. What a wonderful blessing. What a fantastic promise. And it seems like I say this almost every week lately, but I think that it needs to be said, this was not written for the disciples that he spoke it to. It was written for you and me. And he says, my peace I give to you. What if we could just accept that by faith? What if we would just believe and receive that and say, thank you, Jesus, for your peace? Because he says, my peace I give to you. Well, some of you need to start taking it right now. You just need to start saying, thank you, Jesus. I receive it, Jesus. I mean, he's trying to give you a gift. My peace I give to you. It's a different kind of peace. It's not like the world gives this peace that he gives. He says, not as the world gives do I give to you. You see, the world's peace is elusive. It's fragile. It's always dependent upon circumstance. Jesus' peace is internal. It is unshakable. It's not dependent upon what's going on in the world around us. So often, we're looking for other things to give us peace. And we think that somehow, that if we just get this worked out, if we just get this situation, if we just get past this. Anybody old enough to know there's always something? I mean, if there's nothing going on today to rob your peace, well, give it a day. Or turn on the news or look at Facebook for, I'm just telling you, there's always something to rob your peace in this world. But his peace, it's not like what the world gives. No, it is a lasting, eternal peace. It's not dependent upon what the government does. His peace is not dependent upon what's going on with the economy. Right. And here's the thing. So many believers, they're so wrapped up in that attitude of the world that they can't have any peace. We got to realize Jesus is the source of our peace. And that peace is not like the world's peace. You're always going to have unexpected bills. You're always going to have conflicts with people and things that happen. But you need to know his peace is an inward peace. It's on the inside. The world's peace is something happens on the outside, but it comes and goes. Amen? And it mostly goes. No, his peace is an abiding peace. It's a lasting peace. It's not like what the world gives. See, the world thinks that peace is, you know, when everybody stops to reload. You know, you have a ceasefire. It doesn't matter if it's in the Middle East or in your home. Well, we got a moment's peace because we had a ceasefire. No, that's not real peace. Real peace has to be on the inside, and it's something that can't be taken away. He said, my peace is not like the world gives. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. You see, it's a peace in your heart. It's on the inside. Neither let it be afraid. We don't have to be afraid of all of the things going on in our world. No, we can have the peace of God in our heart no matter what things look like. Peace is not the absence of conflict on the outside. Peace is the absence of conflict on the inside. Two chapters later in John 16, verse 33, Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world, you'll have tribulation, trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus said, we're going to have trouble. And you know what? I think every preacher in America has preached that verse this year, at least the last half of it. In this world, we're going to have trouble, but be of good cheer. He's overcome the world. But I want to point your attention to the first part of the verse there this morning. He says, these things I've spoken to you that in me, where's your peace? It's in Jesus. Yes. See, he wasn't just talking about a religion. Every great religion offers peace, but you can't get it through anyone but Jesus. He says, it's in me. In me, you have peace. In this world, you're always going to have trouble. And isn't it the truth? There's always going to be something. It doesn't matter if it's stress from your job or stress from school or stress in the home and relationships or finances, dealing with your kids or dealing with your parents. Amen. I mean, it even in church and ministry, there can be stress, problems. You read the scripture and you see that they dealt with all kinds of battles and struggles and personal conflicts, and yet this peace is for us. Because no matter what happens, no matter what the battle, the struggle, our God is bigger. Amen. He is the God of peace. Romans 16:20. The God of peace. He's the author of peace. Not the author of confusion, but the author of peace. He wrote the book on it. I'm just telling you that our God can bring peace in our lives no matter what's going on in this world. But in John 16:33, the first thing that Jesus said in that verse was, these things I have spoken to you. Now, some of the principles we talked about last week when we talked about joy, we need to go over those again, because I'm telling you, it is so key to us walking in the Spirit and having this fruit, this part of the fruit, peace, in our lives. But he says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. I want you to know that so often the Word of God will bring peace to you. But in particular this morning, as Jesus says to the disciples, these things I have spoken to you, one of the things that he had spoken to the disciples about very clearly was that the Holy Spirit was going to come. He called him the helper, the comforter. He said, the one that has been with you is going to be in you. And we as born again Christians, we realize that the Holy Spirit lives inside of every believer, that every believer born of the Spirit of God has that third person of the Trinity living on the inside of us. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You need to know that the Holy Spirit inside of you can lead you in a life of peace. That every day you can experience the peace that only Jesus gives. Every day you can have that abiding peace in your life. Carnal Christian will never really know much of the peace of God. Maybe a little dab here and a little dab there, but I'm just telling you, too many believers have settled for being a carnal Christian. And they got their name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, but here in this earth, they are missing out on so much of what God has for them. They're struggling on in a life way too much like the world instead of really living the life God has called us to. And I'm going to set the bar a little higher today, because I want to tell you, we've set the bar way, 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 way too low. We need to raise the bar. God has something better for you than just a carnal Christian life. Amen. And here it comes. You see, we should be a spiritual people. We should desire to be a spiritual people, to be more like Jesus, to be led of the Holy Spirit, not satisfied to just play the church game and be a carnal Christian. God has something better for you. He wants you to have this peace. My peace I give unto you. That's what Jesus said. Are we really living in that peace? I want you to understand this morning that as a new creation in Christ, This is how we're supposed to live, in the peace of God. We're born of Him, born of His Spirit. We can't allow that old nature to rule us any longer, but instead we learn to yield to the Holy Spirit. We learn to walk in the Spirit. That's what the Bible says, Galatians 5:16. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh, that old nature. Now, last week and the week before, when I talked about this passage, I read it from the NIV that says the sinful nature. But I want to read it from the New King James this morning, because he uses the word flesh, and that's a more literal translation of what the word that's actually there. When we say sinful nature, that's what it means figuratively, but it literally is flesh. It's, if you're born again, you have a spirit. That's a new nature. You also still have this flesh. And this flesh, it responds, it takes its cues from the world around us. But our spirit takes its cues from the Spirit of God. It is influenced by the Spirit of God. And you see, as long as we are allowing our old nature, that old flesh, to still control our lives, we still end up with the same kind of results in our life. But the results, the fruit of the Spirit, is when we yield to the Holy Spirit. And he says, very plainly, he says, walk in the Spirit. The NIV says, live by the Spirit. It is a command. It's not an automatic thing. It is something that we choose to do. We can still choose to live that old carnal life, or we can choose to live a spiritual life and be led of the Spirit. And that's where the fruit of the Spirit comes, is when we are walking in the Spirit. He says in verse 17 that the flesh and the spirit are contrary one to another, so you don't do the things that you want. You see, as long as we give in to that old nature and allow it to rule our lives, we end up with a life we don't want. Oh, if we really want to see all that God has for us, we got to be led of the Spirit. Verse 18, he says, if you're led of the Spirit. See, if, it's not an automatic, it's conditional. It's conditional upon you choosing to walk in the Spirit. To be led by the Spirit. That old flesh driven by the old nature, I'm telling you, but the Spirit is that inner man that will lead you and guide you from the inside. The flesh always influenced by the storm. It's always influenced by the conflicts, by the things going on around us. But on the inside, that inner man, the Spirit, no, he's in tune with God. An almighty God who can do anything. An almighty God who knows no defeat. An almighty God who knows no impossible situation. An almighty God who always knows what to do. And Galatians 5:22 tells us plainly the fruit of the Spirit is peace. This is what the Spirit will produce in your life. Peace. Peace. Everybody wants it. But the key is that we are walking in the Spirit, that we're being led of the Spirit. That's when we have peace. And when we walk in the Spirit, you see, we choose that. When you walk in the Spirit, we choose peace. We choose to have peace in our life instead of having strife, instead of having envy and anger and bitterness. No, we're being led of the Spirit. We don't choose those things. Those things are part of the works of the flesh. Instead, we choose to have peace, because that's what the Spirit produces in our life. When we see those things in our life, we realize we're allowing that old nature. But instead, we choose to live by the Spirit. Jesus said, in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:9, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the sons of God. Peacemakers. That's who we are. We'll be called the sons, the daughters of God when we are peacemakers. Amen. We're not the troublemakers, church. We're the peacemakers. That's who we are. We got that peace on the inside of us. And you know what? It ought to be showing in our life. It ought to be showing in our character and the way that we live our life, the decisions that we make in every way. We're not contentious. We're not prideful. We're not selfish. We're not unyielding. No, those things are all that old nature. Instead, we submit ourselves to one another. We're humble. We're meek. We're kind. Those things lead to peace. We choose that. We choose to let the Holy Spirit lead us, and we choose peace. It is part of our nature. It's part of our inheritance in Christ. So how can we practically choose and walk in the Spirit and so walk in peace? In Galatians 5, a couple of verses later, after we read verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit, he says, keep in step with the Spirit. We got to stay in tune with the Spirit. It can't be something that we just thought about on a Sunday morning, but it needs to be something that we are doing every day, throughout our day. We're mindful of the Holy Spirit. Some believers don't hardly even know there is a Holy Spirit. We need to always be mindful of the Holy Spirit, that we are born of the Spirit, and allow Him to lead and guide our lives. So we have to intentionally tune in. You keep in step. You tune in to the Spirit. And one of the ways that we do that is by keeping our mind on the Lord. Set your minds on things above, the Bible says. We get our mind on the things of God. Romans 8, 5 and 6. We read 5 last week, but it's so powerful. He says, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, as long as we still have our minds set on the carnal things, the worldly things, we're just seeing the world around us, then we're always going to have destruction, always going to have turmoil on the inside. But here's what happens when we really get our mind on the Spirit. Life and peace. That's the life that we're called to. A life that's filled with life and peace. You got to get your mind on the Lord. As long as we're focused on all of the turmoil, all the trouble, everything that's going wrong, we'll never have peace. Isaiah 26 and 3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. And there is so much a part of the key to us having peace every day of our life is that we trust him. Doesn't matter what's going on out here, we trust him. Amen. He's too big. He's too powerful. He's too awesome. He's too loving for us to be worried and upset and fretting over anything. We just keep our mind on him because we trust him. Doesn't matter how great the battle, how scary the storm, we trust him. We keep our minds on him, and the Bible says we'll have perfect peace. But it's a choice. What are you going to set your mind on? What are you going to set your mind on? One lady got on a plane. She said she was going to Cleveland. And she looked out one side of the plane through the window, and she saw this beautiful sunset. And then she looked out the other side of the plane, and she saw an ominous dark cloud. It looked like a storm. And she said the Lord impressed her that this was the way her life was. She's still going to the same destination, no matter which one she focuses on. But she can focus on the storm and be anxious and fearful. Or she can focus on that beautiful sunset and instead have peace. And you see, in our life, we can focus on all the problems and hassles and conflicts, or we can focus on the Lord. We get our mind on God. And guess what? We get to have peace when we do that. Perfect peace, he says. And you know, I find that this Christian life has been reduced down to some little mini microwavable thing. You know, it's like a bag of microwavable popcorn, throw it in for 30 seconds, we're done. I want to tell you plainly as a pastor, you will not fully understand everything in 30 minutes. God can do a work in your life in a moment, in an instant, in a second. But we also are supposed to grow and learn. And one of the things that we learn and grow in is peace. Amen. You learn to trust Him more. The Bible tells us in Psalms 119, verse 165, great peace have they who love your law, and nothing will cause them to stumble. You see, when you've lost your peace and you're having trouble keeping your mind on God, go to the Word of God. Search the Scriptures. Because I can tell you, there are truths, promises that will put you over, that will bring your peace back. But even better than using the Word as a cure is using it as a preventative. Because when you love the Word of God, great peace have they who love His law. Nothing will cause them to stumble. Here's what happens. You see, you get that doctor's report, and you could be all fearful and afraid and anxious and upset. But instead, you say, He heals all my diseases. By His stripes, I was healed. Jesus healed them all. I'm just telling you, those scriptures start coming to your mind, and that bad report doesn't steal your peace. Because you've got your mind right. You got your mind on God. You got your mind on the promises of God instead of just the situation, the circumstance. Things happen. The devil will try to rob your finances. Let me tell you something. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. It's not a problem for God. How we just need to get the Word of God down in our heart, and then it's so much easier for us to keep our minds on the Lord when those problems come. We immediately turn to God. It prepares us for life. We tune in to the Spirit through prayer. You can't live a Spirit-led life and not pray. No, we are to be in constant communication with the Lord. Always pray. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. See, we're always talking to the Lord. We don't just think about Him once in a while. No, throughout our day, if we're going to be led of the Spirit, we're going to have to say, Lord, what do You want me to do? I mean, you may not actually spell out the words in your mind, but you have that heart, that attitude, or you yield into the Spirit. What do you want me to do in this situation? When we're just reacting to life, that's not walking in the Spirit, and we don't have any peace. Ephesians 4, 6 and 7, such powerful truths. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be upset about anything. Easier said than done, right? But how do you do it? Well, He tells us, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Now, we pray every time. See, when you get anxious, when there's a situation that would upset you, you pray about it. Instead of being anxious, I used to say it this way, it's either cares or prayers. You're either going to bear the care, the worry of that, or you're going to pray about it. One of the two, those are your choices. But the Bible tells us very clearly, we're not supposed to be anxious. Don't be anxious for anything, but take it to God in prayer. And you know, we've all prayed and gotten up from our prayer just as anxious. And I just want to say this, you have to pray until you give it to God. It doesn't take God a long time to hear your prayer. You will not be heard by your many words, Jesus said. But sometimes it takes more than a 30-second prayer for us to get to the place where we're really cast the care of that over on the Lord and give it to God. If you're getting up still carrying that load, you didn't pray long enough. Well, how long does it take? That's up to you. But I'm just telling you, you need to pray until you'll turn it over to God. Because here's what's supposed to happen. The peace comes. The peace that passes understanding doesn't even make sense. That means the circumstances haven't changed yet, but you got a peace that's beyond understanding. And it will guard your heart and your mind. Oh, how we need that kind of peace every day in our life. And I'm telling you, you see, as we're walking in the Spirit, we're quick to pray. We're quick to turn to the Lord in prayer and give it to God and trust Him and allow Him to lead us through. Whatever you're worried about, whatever you're stressing about, pray about it. Take it to the Lord. To have His peace, we got to let His peace rule in our heart. Colossians 3:15, he says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You see, if we're going to be led of the Spirit, we're going to walk in peace, well, you got to let peace rule in your heart. You make a decision that you're going to let the Holy Spirit lead you, that you're going to let peace lead you. You're not going to allow yourself to get caught up in the attitudes of the world, being always drawn in to that attitudes of conflict and strife and ugliness, but instead, you're going to keep your peace. You let that peace rule in you. Who's ruling? Who's in charge of your life? Who's in control of your life? Because when we talk about being led of the Spirit, when we talk about walking in the Spirit, we're talking about the Holy Spirit being the one who's leading your life, who ultimately is in control of your life. God the Holy Spirit. Jesus in Mark chapter 4 is asleep in a boat with his disciples. And a great storm comes up, and the disciples think they're going to die. They wake Jesus up. They say, Lord, don't you care that we perish? A lot of people have had that attitude. Lord, don't you care about what's going on in my life? Jesus was asleep in the boat. He had real peace. That same peace, he said, my peace I give to you. I'm telling you, he can give you a peace where you can sleep through the storm. You don't have to be afraid, fearful, stressed, anxious. No, you can have a peace. It's greater. Jesus gets up, and after he rebukes them for their little faith, Jesus says, peace, be still. And there's a great calm that comes on that sea. He is Lord of the storm. He speaks and it obeys. He's Lord of the audit. He's Lord of the divorce. It's not hard for God. He can take control. And oh, how frustrated we get sometimes when He chooses not to calm the storm. Anybody got any storms you wish that God would just hurry up and calm? In the middle of a battle, and you wish the Lord would just hurry up and win it? I'm just telling you, a lot of the time, you see, we just want God to calm the storm. We just want God to fix all of our problems. We just want God to take care of this. If God would just do what I want, everything would be good. He's Lord of the storm. And you see, at any time, He can supersede the laws of nature. He can do a miracle anytime He wants. He does whatever He pleases. That's what the Bible says. I mean, when it comes to you, you have a free will. It's up to you whether or not He's truly Lord in your life. But if you'll make Him Lord, truly make Him Lord. You see, He's already spoken to you. Amen. My peace I give to you. He says in Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. We can have a peace on the inside. If we'll just let Jesus be Lord, we'll just let Him rule over our spirit. I got peace no matter what I'm going through. Jesus is my Lord. He's in control of me. I submit myself to Him. He is Lord. And I got that peace. Here's a great definition from the Bible of how peace happens in your life. A great calm. Just like that sea that day, a great calm came. Listen, when you really get a hold of this peace, there's a great calm on the inside. In the middle of the battle, in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the conflicts, there's a great calm. I want you to stand with me.